Hello, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Suns, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, your host, Evan Sutter. I'm joined by co-host Brendan Clean. You can follow me on Twitter at eSutter. You can follow Brendan on Twitter at BrendanClean14. Also, follow our Locked On Suns for page you haven't already at Locked On PHX Suns. Your Twitter is very much appreciated, as always. Today, we're going to be talking about some interesting news, Brendan, that we came across in the last 24 hours from Mark Stein in the first segment, which is going to cover the GM search. Then we're going to talk about also the Luke Walton news that Sean Devaney talked about last week. Is there any credence to that? Do you think Luke Walton's a candidate or not? And in our final segment, we're going to talk about a little bit what all these injuries now with Kelly Oubre after the season. Officially today, they announced with his surgery that he had today. We also have Tyler Johnson, the sore knee could be shut down. TJ Warren also with his ankle could be shut down. Maybe even Josh Jackson, his ankle could be shut down. So that's almost a quarter of the roster of a key contributors already that could be out. So how does that affect the last nine games of the regular season for the Phoenix Suns, Brendan? So we'll kick things off first with the report yesterday you were on Brightside of the Sun about Kevin McHale and Jim Paxson, who we see all the time on Media Row for the last 2 years of Phoenix Suns games. I believe he lives in Phoenix and works in a role for the Chicago Bulls, but I think McHale's the big name here. What do you think about Kevin McHale and Jim Paxson leading the way as far as the first two names?
2 61-year-old guys who got fired from their last jobs almost 15 years ago is not where I would go, but I don't think it's necessarily a surprise. The one reaction that I had more than even who it was that I think even at this point, national reports about who is involved in this search are, I think, misguided in the position that they are up for consideration for. I would say that these names make it even more likely that the candidate who is eventually hired will be more of a president of basketball operations role than general manager. It doesn't seem like James Jones will just be fired. And so the only way to put somebody above him would be a president, because typically vice presidents, which is what Jones was previously, report to the general manager. So the only spot left to have some sort of guy above Jones would be a president. I don't think these guys are actually going to be candidates for the GM position. So that was my main reaction, was that just kind of the semantics of the report were not quite where I expected them to end up. And the names themselves are kind of gross, but not altogether out of the box, especially McHale. Well, that's the guy we've been hearing about forever. Paxson is kind of out of left field, but he's basically just another version of McHale, so not super surprising either.
No, this is kind of me jokingly saying this last night to you at the game, but do you think Jim Paxson got an interview because he's been around the Phoenix Suns the most of possibly anyone outside the Phoenix Suns organization? Because, like I said at the top of the podcast, he's there every game watching the Phoenix Suns, and maybe Robert Sarver thought, hey, this guy sees the team almost every day, every home game. Why not give him an interview?
I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but obviously that has to play a role, right? Why else would this guy, of all the random people in the whole league that have experience as even general managers, there's dozens of guys that are out of a job right now that have held a GM title at some point in their career. For it to be Paxson, clearly there has to be something else there. And I think it is because of his familiarity and the fact that he lives here. I would assume he lives here. Otherwise, why would he be here be at the arena all of the time? So I would imagine that it's a little bit deeper than that, and probably we can assume that Sarver has developed a relationship with him over the years. That would be my guess. Just somebody who's been in basketball. He got fired from Cleveland around the time that Sarver bought the team here, so he went into that role with the Bulls shortly thereafter, and maybe they've just had a relationship all this time, and that's what we're seeing manifest here. But that's my best guess. We have no idea, of course.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the whole thing shakes out. But we talked about this on the podcast in the last few weeks when we were speaking about just James Jones' job security, and Kevin McHale's been anyway that's brought up in the last year, especially the coaching search last year. I believe he was interviewed, but also helped advise the coaching search too. So what do you think about just McHale's possibilities here? And like we talked about in the podcast a couple weeks ago, it feels inevitable, in my opinion, at least, that James Jones is the GM and Kevin McHale is the president of basketball operations.
Well, certainly the fact that McHale is the first name we hear again after the search, of, quote unquote, officially begins here is not it's not going to make it any less likely in anybody's mind that he is the front runner here. And so he still is that in my mind. But one thing that I would say, a question more so than anything else. Do you feel like we're going to hear anybody else's name here? Do you think that we will get even a nominal? David Griffin is, the Suns have interest in David Griffin. The Suns are considering Mike Zarin for the position. The Phoenix is bringing in Gerson Rosas for an interview later this week. Like, are we going to hear that at all? Or is it going to be April 15th, Woj tweets out that Kevin McHale's headed to Phoenix? Like, do you think this is really as wrapped up as it seems? Or do you think we're going to see more of a search like we did for the head coaching position last summer? Because we got a candidate hired here that was not super experienced and kind of fit the mold of a usual Sarver hire, but they did bring in a lot of guys and a lot of names that other teams also were interested in. Do you think it'll be that way this summer with the GM or the president?
I feel like, honestly, no. I feel like at this point, just what we've been hearing the last 6 months with James Jones, it feels inevitable he's going to stay on board. And with the way he's been speaking, it seems like he already has a plan for what's to come this summer. And I know this is
about him. Do you think we'll hear the other guys for the president position or for some other sort of front office position?
Yeah, for sure. I was about to say as well with the Kevin McHale thing, which is really interesting. I just Googled this. Guess who Kevin McHale's agent is?
I don't know.
Bill Duffy.
Kelly's agent, right?
And Aiden's.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because he works with other people a lot, so it's tough to say. But yeah, that's interesting. That one is not one that I knew, but I don't think that's a coincidence, and I don't think McHale coming up every time that anything newsworthy about the Suns search comes up is a coincidence either.
Yeah, it just sure seems like they're going down this route, and I would personally lean towards them not really getting any names here as far as interviews, because if you're an outside candidate, would you want to come here? I mean, if you're a Mike Zarin, would you even want to be interviewed here? Because it's been such a murky situation here and such shaky ground that if you fail the first year or two, you might be out of a job already.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't even think it's the instability more so than the recent track record. I don't think the fact that the Suns are a losing team the past several years is why I wouldn't want the job if I'm in Mike Zarin's shoes, for instance. It is the instability. It's the fact that Ryan McDonough got fired 8 days before the start of the regular season after having a whole summer where he felt like his job was safe and that he had some leeway to make moves and try to build the roster a little bit. And that is where I would be hesitant if I was one of those top guys to make the Suns my next landing spot. Is just, why? What do you have to gain? These names we throw around all the time are the ones we throw around for a reason, because we don't know. It's like we're talking to, you know, NBA owners every day. These are the names that come out all the time, and those guys are going to have their pick of jobs this summer. So I agree that it's unlikely, but I actually do think we will hear some names, even if it's just Sarver or somebody within the Suns organization leaking that they're interested or have spoken with some high caliber name. They'll be careful. I don't think that they'll do that with like a David Griffin or something because of the history there. But, you know, I think Rosas or some lesser known guy like that, I think we will hear some of those just to make it seem like they have some sort of diligence going on in the search. But I think you and I have both been on the same page that it's going to be McHale for a while. What do you think? Do you have any idea what we could expect? I mean, it's been a while since McHale was running things, but do you feel like there's even any way that could work out? He kind of ruined Kevin Garnett's career a little bit.
Yeah, it has me worried a little bit, and he really doesn't have much success as far as draft record either, the more you look at it. I mean, he kind of lucked into Garnett, and outside of that, he really failed his prime out, and his career, his coaching career especially, if he was willing to look at that for a moment. I know he's not going to be a coach here in Phoenix, but his last working relationship was with the Houston Rockets, and that was with James Harden, Dwight Howard. So, hey, maybe Kevin McHale views instead of Booker, DeAndre Ayton is his next Harden and Howard he could work with. But I feel like that went well. Yeah, I don't think that did not go well at all. But I feel like a guy like Kevin McHale just makes sense. Just I feel like him and Sarver have been connected for a while. And I don't know. It just feels like that's just been signed, sealed, and delivered since last year when we heard back in 2018, the summer of 2018, that Kevin McHale was even being brought up as a final candidate in the coaching search as well. Because if I remember right, Woj said that it was down to Igor and Clifford, and I think it was Kevin McHale as well.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of wonder if it's not a – if it isn't a I think to me, what's going to determine if, and we don't want to get too far down the rabbit hole because obviously we just talked about the instability. There could be just some random name that comes up. And then 2 days after the season, that guy gets hired. We don't know because it is so random here. It just seems pretty firmly in the tea leaves at this point. But I would say that it's going to depend for me. My perception of how this all goes down will be a lot based on how involved this guy is, whoever it ends up being that's hired. If it's somebody, if it's McHale and he's more of, you know, even you want to think kind of like what Magic Johnson does in LA, he's done a very terrible job at the president position, but he's not the guy who's talking to agents and directing scouts and, you know, meeting with the coaching staff every day. He's there as the public face. He's there as the more of an advisor and decision maker. I think that type of position can actually succeed for some of these older guys. Jerry West, obviously, probably the very best example of that. But McHale's failures, I think, are the positions that he was way more involved as a coach, as a general manager, doing that day-to-day stuff. If he comes in and he's just kind of there as a guide and a figurehead and somebody who James Jones can lean on a little bit, I don't know if it's terrible. I think there's better guys even to be doing that, but I don't hate it, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's just a different route they have to go at this point because they've had so many failures at the GM position. Lance Blanks and Ryan McDonough. James Jones has had his negatives already. He's had his positives, though, with the Kelly Oubre trade. But anything else as far as the GM search you want in on, Brandon?
Just to show people how far we've come, I was doing an assignment for school today, and I was just doing it based on the Suns because it's easier that way. And it was like a timeline project going back through since the last time they made the playoffs and messing around with this digital timeline program. I went and put Ryan McDonough's introductory press conference video in there, and it was him and Lon Babby at a table. And that was only 5 years ago. So just to show people the craziness, as if they can't already remember. I'm sure I'm not reminding anybody of anything that isn't already seared into their memory, but it was just kind of crazy to look at. And those two guys sitting at a table only 5 years ago, and now here we are talking about Kevin McHale and James Jones running this team. It's just crazy how much change there's been.
Yeah, and we also could see just off topic here a little bit, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving could come Knicks here soon, so that could be a crazy summer.
The NBA.
Yeah. Tell me about it. But before we go on to our next segment here, I want to tell you guys really quickly about our Locked On NBA Twitter account. If you haven't already done so, go ahead and follow at Locked On NBA now on Twitter. I think it's one of the more valuable resources on NBA Twitter. Brent and I have our account synced on there as well for the Suns coverage. I know you guys enjoy here on Locked On Suns. But if you guys want to get more of a national scope of things, we have all 29 other teams covered for you guys with great Locked On NBA hosts and also some great written content on Twitter as well. So yeah, if you haven't already done so, go ahead and follow at Locked On NBA now on Twitter.
Want to also remind you guys about Homie. Homie is changing the marketplace up here in Phoenix. And if you are thinking about buying or selling a home this whole year, anytime in the near future, you definitely need to have Homie front and center in your mind because really, mostly, they save you a whole ton of money. They list and sell your home for a flat rate of $1,500. That means that on average, Homie customers are going to be saving over $10,000. They recently sold a local home that cost $1 million, and that homeowner saved $60,000 in commissions. When you buy a home with Homie, you can also qualify for up to a $5,000 buyer refund to help with the closing costs. And if you're purchasing, you can qualify for a loan with the help of Homie's lawyers and real estate agent team to make the process of buying that dream home even easier. They've got your back every step of the way, and they want you to know that you don't have to do it on your own. To learn more about my friends at Homie, text HOMIE, that's H-O-M-I-E, to 88588. Take out your phone and text the word HOMIE, H-O-M-I-E, to 88588. All right, let's move on here. We are hoping to eventually get Sean Devaney of the Sporting News on the pod. It's been a little bit difficult. His daughter's actually sick. We had that lined up earlier in the week, so hopefully this rumor will stay front and center here. We can almost assuredly say that Lakers coach Luke Walton will be fired at the end of the year. So apparently, as Devaney has it, that means that he'll be a candidate for the Suns job and obviously has the University of Arizona connection here. But that kind of came out of left field, especially because it's not often in the NBA, at least, that we hear about these coaching candidates being considered before the other guy's even been fired. So what did you think when you saw Devaney's report earlier this week, Evan?
I was kind of surprised a little bit because especially dropping that in the midst of, at the time, the best part of the Suns season where they, I think they just beat the Warriors and the Bucks at that point, and then that report dropped Luke Walton. And I think it just surprised me because if it is true, I think that means there is some serious backing to that report earlier in the season where they were leaning towards firing Igor Kokoschkov if he lost that game in Miami, making an 18 straight loss at that point. So I think that's who – it makes sense, though. I mean, you think about it, he's from U of A. He went there. Robert Sarver's a U of A alum also and a donor there. That's that connection, even though it's not
really – family's from San Diego also. There's another connection. Sarver lives in San Diego. Obviously, the Waltons live in San Diego.
And you also can't get enough Bill Walton either. I mean, if he gets to talk to Rudder Arena. But
beautiful. Maybe he could become like – kind of in the Ann Myers Drysdale, just do like a few color games a year for Fox Sports. I'd be down.
I can't even imagine that, but that'd be hilarious. But the more I think about it, the more I just don't see it happening from the Suns' point of view, Brennan, because why would you want to mess this up with Igor right now? I know some might say they're kind of done with Igor Kokoschkov already just because there's been so much inconsistency already with the season. But if you've watched the last month of the year, I'd be shocked if you found anyone that would say they'd be willing to let go of Igor Kokoschkov, because there's serious growth being shown this team, and it's been shown when they're fully healthy, especially. I mean, probably the last 10 games of the season aren't going to be a good baseline of what it was, but these last 15 or so games for Kelly Oubre got hurt, Tyler Johnson got hurt. This team was a different team at one point, and credit to Igor for most of that, I think.
I agree. It's funny. I've been kind of comparing it, and I'm sure local fans see the parallels as well with the Cardinals situation, and I just think it's pretty different, not to pull anyone in who didn't follow that situation, but I just feel like in this case with this team, a lot of the time I would advocate if you feel like you made a mistake with your coaching hire, then you just move on. I mean, it sucks to have that year of inconsistency. I heard Kevin Clark of The Ringer talking about how in football people like to say that coaching firings are just a complete lost season. I think that's true in every sport. I think that would be true if the Suns were to fire Igor. But I don't think that they should do it, even if they feel as if it wasn't a perfect 100%, we nailed this, we got the guy we want. You didn't give him enough to be successful, not only with just not building a roster that makes sense in general, but specifically not building a roster that makes sense for what he wanted to do. That success that he had overseas, the success he had in Utah and different places, was always predicated around multiple ball handlers, and you gave him one ball handler total on the whole entire roster, not even considering the fact that there have to be 15 guys on a roster. You gave him one of 15 who could even do anything with the ball. So it just would make zero sense to move on based on any failures that happened this year, because those failures are completely square on Sarver in the front office more than anything Igor did. And I think there are, as we talked about on our Wednesday episode, plenty of things you can point to that he did well.
Yeah, for sure. And just the more I think about it, just it would just be stunning to me to fire Igor, especially when you think about it from this point of view. They've already let go of Jay Triano after a 79-game interim stint. They fired Earl Watson after a season and a quarter. They need some consistency. And even if Igor is not the guy, I just think at this point with how unstable this franchise has been, you have to at least – I think give the right to have Igor finish his contract here. I mean, maybe if things go south next year, that's a different story. But from what it's looking like right now, I think he's earning the right to at least finish out the next 2.5 years.
Well, this is what's funny though, right? Because that's the debate. Because then if it's like you want to see what happens next year, but you're fine pulling the trigger in season next year, then we get Joe Prunty as the head coach for a week and or for a year, and then we're doing this again in next April, and the Suns are looking for a coach. And if, you know, so I guess it comes down to how much you like the candidate. Do you feel like there's any way you could be convinced that Luke Walton is a good enough head coach, a good enough candidate for this team, that it would be worth it to do that? Because if you find somebody that you absolutely love, then, you know, it's going to look good. It's going to be the right decision in hindsight. It's going to be more instability. It's going to be Devin Booker's, you know, he's not even going to know who the what the name of the guy coaching the team is after a while here. But is Luke Walton a guy that you think there's any way he's good enough to get that, to make that change?
I don't personally think so. I think he's a worse tactician than Igor Kokoschkov is. And I, maybe it's just the LeBron factor. Maybe that's why it's fallen apart in L.A. But this is an interesting question I want to toss back at you, Bernie, because tying back the second segment here into this one, what do you think about the president of basketball operations? For example, it's Kevin McHale. How much is he going to have to say with the coaching search? Because or if there is a coaching search, because what if he walks in here and tells Robert Sarver, hey, I have my own coach in mind, I don't want Igor as coach. That could be actually, I think, a factor we're kind of overlooking here at the moment.
Yeah, that's true. And it's hard to tell who that would be because he hasn't been in charge of anything for just such a long time. So that does complicate things. There's not an easy guy you point to and think, oh, that'll be his right-hand man for sure. You know, so I wonder, I don't know. That is obviously going to play a huge role in it. We see that time and time again in sports of the head guy is replaced, different opinions on everything, but it always seems to come back to the coach. So that would clearly change things, and it'll be another topic of conversation. I'm sure whoever gets hired, whether it's McHale or anyone else, that'll be question number one when they are introduced at their press conference. But with Walton specifically, I agree that he's not as good of a tactician, especially on offense. The way he had the Lakers playing defense at the end of last season turned a lot of heads. They were, I think, 10th in defensive rating last year over the full season. That obviously deserves a lot of credit. I don't think he's a bad coach. I think LeBron made him look a lot worse, but I don't think he's just overwhelmingly better than Igor. I actually kind of feel like they're pretty similar in terms of assistants who made their name on one side of the ball and do that really, really well, but have a lot to prove elsewhere. I think Igor has a lot to prove. I think Walton has a lot to prove. I just don't think he's the guy, Luke, that would make me pull the trigger on firing somebody. You know, he's not Brad Stevens, or he's not Greg Popovich. You know, he's not up there. So I don't feel like it's worth wrecking that another just puzzling, too quick move for the sake of getting Luke Walton over here. I just don't think it's worth it. I think we're on the same page there. But we can move on to our last segment here and talk about how things might look the rest of this season before we really dive into the craziness here this summer. Before we do so, though, I want to remind you guys to rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts if you haven't already. We're going to do a mailbag here soon to close out the year, and we're going to do the tacky ridiculousness of giving you guys the opportunity to ask questions, but only if you review the show. So go ahead and do that for us. It'll help us. It'll help support the show, and you don't have to spend any money. And also, if you're a listener elsewhere, you can check out the show on Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere that you find audio, and also the new Himalaya podcast app. We have a partnership here at the network now with the Himalaya podcast app. Super exciting. If you have not already checked that out, make sure that you are doing so. It's a cool company, cool concept outside of the Locked On Network. Check out everything they're doing. Use that app to listen to our show if you love it, if you like it. And remember, you can also be listening to our show in your car. Tell your smart device to play the podcast, Locked On Phoenix Suns, to access it that way as well. A whole ton of ways to check out everything we're doing at Locked On Suns here. Make sure you're taking advantage of all of it. Alrighty.
Hey, Brendan, real quickly, I just wanted to also read this. Just we got a couple of reviews in the last few days on our Apple Podcast page. So I just want to read and give you guys a shout out real quick. We had two of them from Andres, and he says, best Phoenix Suns podcast. These guys are my favorite Suns podcast. Great basketball analysis as well as a ton of fun and informative segments. If you're a Suns fan, you'll love this podcast. 5 stars. And our final one.
Thank you, Andres.
From Von Compton in Flagstaff. He says, these guys work really hard to put out a consistently great show with plenty of great insight and opinions. So thank you, Vaughn, and thank you, Andres. Those are our 2-1 so far. So hopefully you guys fill those up with some questions here and we'll get those going. But those are
so if they tweet us, we'll answer their questions for the mailbag on Twitter, but no one else since they
exactly, already. Yeah. Andres and Vaughn, if you hear this, tweet us for the mailbag. Go ahead.
All right. So I'm not looking forward to the 5-game homestand. I don't know if you are, but it would have been nice to get some extra home games early in the season when the Suns are playing better basketball here, but it's going to be some beatable teams, even if the Suns are at less than full strength, I think. So why don't we just go through quickly here and then predict how we think it'll happen and maybe some loose thoughts on just what we're hoping for, I guess, out of the rest of this season with so many guys out here. But we have at Sacramento, at Utah. Then we have the 5-game homestand of Washington, Memphis, Cleveland, Utah, New Orleans. I think those are all four out of five of those are very winnable. And then you have at Houston, at Dallas. And keep in mind, like, that Houston game, some of these other ones at maybe versus Utah, they're kind of in a playoff push. But we start to see some weirdness, and maybe Dallas doesn't, you know, play all their guys. We all know April basketball is weird. Alec Peters scored 36 points. Stuff gets crazy. So why don't we start with projecting the record here? What are you thinking as far as these last 9 games?
It's tough because trying to factor in these injuries and who could come back, who could not come back. But if we're just keeping it to what it is now, if they're just imagining Emma Minor to shut down TJ Warren soon alongside Kelly Oubre, and if Josh Jackson has to play either, it's going to be a skeleton crew out there where they're going to have to rely on Devin Booker and DeAndre and to put up a lot of work. And maybe even from what it sounds like, Jaren Fredette's going to play. So they might have to rely on Jaren Fredette to actually put up some points to win some games here. And I'm looking at the schedule here. I'll just go through really quickly for you guys. At Sacramento, at Utah, I think both are going to be losses in my opinion. So that puts them at 17-58. But then versus Washington at home, back for the first game of the homestand, I have a loss for that. So 3 in a row for that one. Versus Memphis, though, a win for me. Then versus Cleveland, a win for me. Versus Utah, a loss. Versus New Orleans, a win. At Houston, a loss. At Dallas, a win. So I have 4 wins out of these 9 games, 4-5, and have them finishing with the exact same record as last year.
Ah, look how that worked out. Yeah, I have 3. I just don't think you can win on the road at this point, but I do think they can get 3 of the same 3 that you had at home. I think that they will win. So we have Saturday, March 30th versus the Grizzlies, April Fool's Day, which we were laughing about yesterday, versus Cleveland, and then Friday, April 5th, the last home game of the year. Come see Anthony Davis, his last time in Phoenix as a Pelican for 20 minutes and not in the fourth quarter as the Suns, in my great, just perfect guess here, win on Friday, April 5th. So that's 3-6. That's 20 wins on the year. That's enough to keep them in the top 3 in the lottery probably. So not going to be terrible basketball. I mean, I think the fortunate thing here for the future and for watchability's sake right now is Booker and Ayton are still healthy.
Yeah, that's really what I want to see the last nine games of now is just how that chemistry forms. I want to see more pick and rolls between those guys because I feel like they've been just kind of teasing us a little bit with the pick and rolls between those two guys. And I think with really no one else on the roster now except a new guy in Jaren Fredette, who might be the third most prolific scorer on the team right now, I think they got to run a lot of pick and roll between those guys and see what happens.
I agree. I think, you know, and I want to see, it doesn't really bode well with the Jimmer signing, but I want to see the guards. I want to see, you know, put Juwan Evans out there, put Elia Kobo out there, put De'Anthony Melton out there. Even if we see a little less of Booker minutes wise, I think that's okay. He shouldn't be playing nearly the load he has had to do if there's no hope with the rest of the roster. So put him down around 30 minutes and let's see some of these other guys, because I think this can be valuable. As Booker said yesterday, he was a product of it. He went in April and March and April. And did you know he averaged 22 points and 5 assists in March of his rookie season?
Wow.
That's insane.
That's impressive. Yeah.
And he was like the youngest guy in the whole league at that point, but I was going back through that with that same school project. But anyway, he said it, you know, he's a guy who took advantage of this when the season was done. You know, the Suns weren't going to make the playoffs that year, and they were still able to get valuable time for him to grow as a player. So I think that's what I'm hoping for from the guards, but it's really going to get ugly here. I don't think that there's too much else to be positive about. The main 2 stars getting some chemistry together here, and then some of these young guys picking up the slack. And I guess the last thing to mention would just be if TJ Warren was able to come back and be healthy, that would be a good sign as well. But it's kind of impossible to guess at this point.
Yeah, I think TJ has to make five or attempt five more threes in the last nine games to reach $250,000 bonus he has in his contract. But we'll have to see on TJ Warren's ankle. But going back just really quickly to that at Dallas game, the final game of the season, I just feel like I previewed on the podcast yesterday at the game, but I feel like that could be Dirk Nowitzki's last game. Looking at tickets here on ESPN.com.
Oh, yeah.
$135, the cheapest ticket for that. So it's going to be pretty expensive if you want to see the duel between Dirk Nowitzki and Jared Fredette, because that's going to be a epic. Yeah.
That's funny. I didn't even think about the fact that Dirk's last game will be against the Suns. That's kind of cool. I mean, not at this point in either of their franchise history, but just for nostalgia's sake, that'll be pretty fun. And he looks a lot better than he did in that debut, because his debut this year was also in Phoenix against the Suns, and you and I were courtside for that one, just kind of shuddering watching him trying to move around. He looks a lot better now, so it won't be painful to see.
Okay, really quick before we end today's podcast, because Dirk hasn't officially said he's going to retire, do you think it'd be pretty awkward if after all this that's gone on the past year, especially Doc Rivers stopping a game to have Dirk Nowitzki get cheered, if he says, hey, by the way, I'm coming back?
It would be hilarious. It would be trolling all the media who just glowed about him all year. We've seen like 20 different Dirk is retiring features written on pretty much every NBA website there is at this point. So it would be pretty hilarious. And he definitely has a sense of humor, so it wouldn't shock me. But yeah, no, he's gone. I mean, it probably was pretty painful and frustrating to go through what he had to go through this year, being just exposed like that as almost completely done. And he got to pass Wilt and all that, so it was a successful year, but I think he's done.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just think it's going to be – it'd be pretty funny to see if he just pulled that card. But
anything – pull an Ichiro, do some preseason game in Germany next year, and then retire there.
Yeah, that would be such melodramatic, but that would be typical Dirk, though. I mean, that'd be kind of just fun to watch. But anything else as far as today's podcast you want to hit on, as far as the GM search or anything else?
No, I'm more interested to fast forward here, but hopefully we get a little bit of fun these last few games.
Yeah, that's for sure. And until then, guys, I'll talk to you on Monday for next episode, and I hope you guys enjoyed the Jared Fredette Show.